And welcome to a touchy-feely edition of ARG Presents.
Don't touch me.
I'm your good buddy, your good pal, Amigo Aaron, joined by that old cowpoke. I give you the Brent.
What's up?
What's up, poke boy? Did you learn something this week between this and last show?
I just went and watched our other show, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, you're as smart as you are handsome. Last week, in case you missed it, we spun the wheel. We made the deal, Brent, the big deal.
I'm excited about the wheel this
week. Are you really excited?
Yes.
What about the game this week? Because, babe, we're going to be playing a Poke Chip games. Poke Chips. I'm poking the sky, in case you're listening on the radio. These are chips. These are games.
You know, we broadcast over the AM spectrum.
These are games that it contained or run off of a system that contains a Poke Chip. Now, you might ask yourself, hey, Amigo Aaron and the Brent, I could have sworn that you did an episode on the Poke Chip and you were too dumb to remember it. Well, I wasn't, but this guy right here was. Dumb as a sack of hammers. He also thought it was in the Amiga. We did do an episode on the Poke Chip, but with a slight twist because we focused on games from the arcade, the Brent.
Yes.
This time around, we're going to focus on the home system.
It's all about them PCs.
Yeah, right. So, right out of the gate, you're asking yourself, what the heck is a Poke Chip? Well, I've got my handy-dandy Poke Chip explainer right here. So, for one thing, here's something you didn't know. Now, by the way, for the full Poke expose, you can go back and watch the first show. I'm not going to go over all the same ground. But according to the old wiki.
The old quick refresher.
That's right.
According
to the old wiki, Poke Chip, which, you know, when I think Poke Chip, I think Atari Sound Chip.
Yes.
Right? Getting the computers and the 5200.
Yes.
And a selection of 700 games, and, of course, in the arcade. Poke means something. It's not just a cute name.
It's important.
It's not the horse that Gumby rode. It means something. It stands for something. It stands for Pot Keyboard Integrated Circuit.
It sure does.
Yeah. I don't know how you get Poke out of that, but it does. It was Doug Neubauer designed this at Atari. For the 8-bit computers, if you think about this for a minute, think about how long ago the Atari 8-bit computers came out, okay? You're talking,
right.
It's the 70s, okay? Ponder this, if you will.
You all right?
Okay.
I'm thinking about it.
You know, a lot of people, I'm going to go off a little bit, if I may.
I've never seen you do that before in the show, Aaron.
Now,
I can't believe
listen,
it.
You know, we co-host the Amigos. We do a lot of Amiga stuff, and we everybody loves C64. You know, hey, C64 is great. SID chip, awesome, right? But people don't, I don't think the Poke Chip or the Atari 8-bit family gets enough credit. Certainly, it's something that was like, it doesn't get nearly the jack that like the C64 did, okay? This thing was so far ahead of its time when it came out in the 70s. The 70s! Are you with me here? This is like the late 70s. And the 8-bit like pretty much kept going unabated into the 90s. I mean, through various means. I mean, you know,
between,
if you think about it, you've got the Atari 8-bit computers with your Poke.
Yes.
Then they transitioned that, you know, into the 5200, okay, which is basically an 8-bit computer.
Yeah, you didn't really.
And then all of a sudden, here comes the Atari 7800 Poke chip still stuck in that, okay? You got the XEGS, which is basically the Atari computer, all the way up towards the ST. Atari rode these computers for all they were worth, right? I'm just saying, the staying power was off the charts on this thing.
Well,
no, it was.
They definitely were showing their age at the end.
That's true. Now, I'll grant you this, that Atari held on too long.
Yeah.
They did the same thing.
About 5 to 7
years.
Well,
yeah, they did. They made a similar mistake. I mean, they tried to keep trotting out the same technology year after year. But on the flip side of it, the amazing things that system could accomplish, given its age, are something that you can certainly bear in mind when you look at some of these games, because this is a game, again, that came out. What else came out in the 70s? You're talking like stuff like the Channel F and stuff. I mean, look at the comparison of this stuff. It's unbelievable. So I'm done with that. Now, again, we're focusing on home machines that had a Poke chip. Now, we're going to really go through a couple different machines here. We mentioned that the Atari 8-bit computer line had it.
Yes.
The Atari 5200 had it.
Yes.
other computers that Atari put out, like the XEGS, a lot of these things, again, they're just basically rebranded computers.
Absolutely.
But it had it. And then you've got a computer or two, or basically you've got one system that didn't have it, but could add it through cartridges, which we'll get to.
Okay, I don't know what you're talking about for that.
Well, I'm going to explain it to you, because that's what I'm here for. So the Pokey was used in a ton of stuff. Of course, we've mentioned it before. It was in tons and tons of Atari Classic Arcade games. Tons yes. of them. So it was, and the thing is, I mean, how would you compare this to, say, the SID, which is the comparison also it often gets? I would say it compares pretty well to a point. I think the SID, ultimately, they squeeze a lot out of the SID on the C64. But, I mean, the Pokey is, in a lot of ways, it's right in the same ballpark, or at least the same conversation, wouldn't you think?
Well, here's the thing. The sound in the arcade from Atari games, and really the looks, too, but we're focusing on the sound for a moment, was a very unique style. You could hear an Atari arcade game from across the arcade and know that was an Atari cat. You know, that was going to be an Atari game in an Atari cabinet. I don't know of any other sound device or any other arcade, you know, chipset that had that comparable sound, with the exception of maybe the CPS, the Capcom sound system.
Yeah.
So
well, I mean, you're getting to a, yeah, that's a quantum
oh,
leap.
Oh, no, yeah, no. I'm not comparing the quality. I'm just saying the uniqueness of the sound.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah, because you're right. Because you think about games like Centipede or Gauntlet that used the Pokey. I mean, they squeezed a lot out of it.
Absolutely.
You know, so it wasn't too difficult to find a couple games to talk about that used the Pokey. Because like I said, there were tons of them, and there were tons of systems to choose from. So I'm going to let you kick it off this week. But now I will say, I had actually played your game before you picked it for once. So you actually picked what I knew about. Tell the people what you chose this week.
I chose Alley Cat. And really, it's a perfect lead-in to what I was just talking about. Because this game, and we'll talk about the gameplay in a second, but the sound on this game is so Atari arcade sounding that it blows my mind.
Yeah.
It really has the chirps, the background sounds, some of the music, it all sounds incredibly early 80s Atari arcade sound.
Yeah.
And the fact that they could get that home was amazing. Alley Cat was the brainchild of John Harris. John Harris had a single screen game where you played as an alley cat, and you were trying to impress your female cat companion, and it was expanded on by Bill Williams, who said, "You know, this is you've got something here. Let's really widen what we can do with it." And that's when all the other mini games and stuff came in. So that was kind of a joint effort. This was released on the Atari in 1983. It also came to the PC, excuse me, and the PC Junior in 84.
Yeah. Never good when you head to the PC now, Junior. That's a dead end street.
Did you play this on DOS as well?
I've played it on DOS. I actually played it on DOS after I played it on the Atari. So, yes, I did play both. Boy, that was a letdown.
Let me tell you something. Get an XL emulator going. That's the way to play this game.
Yeah, absolutely.
So in Alley Cat, you play as an alley cat, a literal alley cat. When the game starts up, you are in an alley behind an apartment building, and you have to impress your lady cat. You have to acquire a gift for her, sorta. You jump over the fence, and you hang from clotheslines that stretch across this apartment building, waiting for your opportunity to slip inside of one of these rooms. And when you get in there, you are treated with a random mini game. And the mini games can range from trying to knock a bird cage off the table so you can capture the bird within. They have One where you dive into the world's most Tartarus-like fishbowl.
Yeah, you have to get up to the fishbowl and jump in.
It's a little fishbowl on a table, but when you jump in, it's like you've jumped into the ocean.
Yeah. It's bigger on the inside than it is on the outside. It's like the TARDIS.
That's exactly what I just said, Aaron. Thanks for repeating me.
You didn't say TARDIS. You said Tartarus. It's not my fault you don't know about Doctor Who.
Uh-huh. Anyway, you collect fish and you bundle those up for a gift. There's also one where you're in, you go into this room, and it's just a massive block of cheese.
Yeah. Whose room is that?
And when you are in the room, you're trying to catch mice that are wiggling inside this cheese. And you can, actually, the cheese is so large, you can climb in one hole of the cheese and pop out the other, so you have to try to catch the mice that are on that. There's also a room where it's just a bunch of bowls where you can put milk in them, and a bunch of sleeping dogs, and you have to try to steal all the milk. And if the dog sees you taking it, they chase you out.
That's my favorite level, and one of the reasons is there's a disembodied milk carton that travels the room, and it pours milk into bowls. But I mean, I do like the fact that as you're drinking the milk, the dog will like open one eye and you're okay.
Yeah.
It'll throw him two eyes, you're sort of okay. But if it looks at you, then you're screwed. It'll bite you.
Yeah. And the last mini game you can get on is a huge bookshelf that is being guarded by a tarantula or some kind of huge spider. And you have to climb to the top of the bookshelf and gather these three flower vases. So those are the mini games, and those are the type of games. The milk one, I guess, I really don't understand what you would take back to your female cat. But it's also
you're just thirsty.
Well,
that's why
you're also trying to prove your bravery.
That's right. Those dogs there
show your mettle. Aaron, if you wouldn't mind rewinding this video to its near beginnings. The level of difficulty is kitten, house cat, alley cat, and I cannot...
Tomcat.
Tomcat, yeah. So they really lean into the kitten jokes,
yeah.
Right? And it's not so overwhelming that they beat you in the face with it, because there's very little text in the game. If you fall out a window or something, it might say oops or gotcha if one of the homeowners catches you, which is expressed with basically a broom that goes around the room. And that brings... Oh, I want to mention this before I forget about it. There is strategy in this game. When you walk around, you leave little paw prints, and the main focus of the... disembodied owner is to clean up the footprints, so that you can use that as a way to get them distracted and go to one side. Did you even realize that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I don't think you leave them on every level, but there's stuff like, for example, the milk one. You don't.
Right. Well, no. Yes, you do.
I don't think so. Do you? I don't think you do.
I do. So you do all this, and once you complete one mini stage. That's all it takes to impress your lady friend. You will see her in the window that opened, one of the windows that opened up. And if you jump to her window, she's being guarded by her five overprotective brothers.
Yeah.
So you have to avoid them, climb to the top of the screen, present your gift, and then you will win the lovely Felicia's hand.
Yeah.
So
they named the cat?
Yeah. Yeah, Felicia. And then it just loops. It gets harder. Things get faster. Your objectives get more of it, et cetera, et cetera. So that is the basic gameplay for Alley Cat. Here's what makes Alley Cat incredibly awesome. First off, involving the Poke Chip, they really use this thing to have some unique sound. I'm not even saying it's the best sound, because it's... If Atari sound is your thing, then it's really good, because it sounds just like an arcade. it has the scratches. It has the little the what would be just beeps and boops. It has that pokey chip flair. Also, it's constant. There's always sounds and music going on. It never lets up, and it completes the package of an already really fun game. The gameplay on this is difficult because it uses momentum for your jumping. And it's an up-down, left-right jumping type affair for the most part. And if you just press up, you'll jump straight up a little bit. If you get a little bit of a run, you'll have more of a jump. And if you get a huge run up, you have this humongous leap that will take you from one side of the screen to the other. So it is very difficult to learn how to control the game. Did you have problems with the controls?
Yeah, I always have, as long as I've ever played this game. They're nutty controls. You're right. I've played this game for years, and it's still not the easiest things to master. That's for sure.
I played this in my youth, and back then, I had a problem with the controls. When I came back to it this week, I really felt like I got it.
Yeah.
And it made the game so much more fun. At its heart, you can really look at this in two ways. You can look at it as a high score game, because there definitely are high score elements that you can stretch and kind of not abuse, but take advantage of. Or you can see how many times you can get to your girlfriend, since it is a looping game. So there are two ways to kind of challenge yourself in this game. And of course, there are four difficulty levels. The graphics in this, Aaron, depending on what version you play, and we're talking about the Atari version here, they're colorful, they're fast, there's lots of sprites on the screen. Whenever you collect points or pick up something, it has that number strobing effect that was super iconic with the Atari.
It's color cycling.
Yeah. So
it's huge, huge font. Like,
yeah.
Whenever something happens, it takes the whole screen. It's like, bam! I mean, you know exactly what's happening.
And that's just, that's transition.
Part of the charm, though.
Yeah. It's a transition from when you were alive to when you die, basically. I really enjoy the use of color in this game. It is the outside alleyway. I mean, it's colorful, but you can tell it's dark out, and it has a grungy feel. And when you get inside these houses, it's a nice, clean environment. You know, you have things that would make up a normal household. You've got tables, you've got lamps, you've got curtains, and you've got things that really make it feel like you've went into someone's house. Little details that they didn't even need to do, like pictures on the wall, family photographs, that sort of thing. And I think all of the mini games are unique enough that they don't feel samey. When you go and you jump into the fishbowl, it's 100% different than when you're trying to knock the bird off the table. And it takes a completely different skill set to accomplish that goal.
Yeah.
Which keeps this game fresh, in my opinion. Aaron, what'd you think of Alley Cat?
Well, you know, I first played this when I was babysitting the neighbor. They had an Atari 8-bit. So I played this, like, literally in 83, 84,
mm-hmm.
when it came out. We were real impressed back then, you know. And I occasionally will come back to it. It's something I do enjoy on the 8-bits, you know. But I hadn't played it for a while, if I'm honest. So when you picked it, I was sort of excited. And when I played it, boy, I actually had a ton of fun playing this. This is a perfect choice for the Pokey Chip episode, because the sound, the music, the sound effects, when you're in the alley with people throwing stuff at you, and you hear
full phones.
Yeah.
Full-size phones.
And which, again, this is sort of the whole alleyway cat thing was sort of a thing that was a 70s or 60s or even the 50s. This was like Tom and Jerry. Every once in a while you see an episode where they talk about all the alley cats and stuff. You don't see it that much now. You know, and the fact that this has the old clothes lines, you definitely don't see those hardly at all anymore.
Right.
You know, the alley scene's great. When you, because you have to jump on these barrels to get high enough to jump on the fence to get up on the, you know, so there's a, the in-between parts of the levels is like, this reminds me to a certain degree of like a Three Stooges, like an early, because think about it. It's got mini games that are divvied up by like in-between scenes. Like, you know, in Three Stooges.
Oh, you mean the game
right.
Three Stooges.
Yeah, yeah, the game Three Stooges. Which is a good thing because, you know, I love that game. When you increase your difficulty level, for example, like the, you have less barrels. You didn't mention this, but if you're screwing around too long in the alley, like a dog yep. starts running back and forth, and if he catches you, he gets you. You know, and so you even the task of hopping up on the barrels to get on the fence is like can be a trial, and it'd be a trifle. There's a cat that pops its head out of the trash cans and will yep. knock you off, which I like. When you're on the clotheslines, you can also gather up mice that are running back and forth on them. So that's like a points push. You can go do that, which is cool. Listen, I like the mini games in this. Like I said, my favorite one's the milk one, but I like them all. The underwater one's good. They're all good. The cheese one's probably my least favorite. It's so bizarre that you're part of this huge thing of cheese.
Yeah.
That's such a weird one.
It is. That one is odd because it also doesn't fit with the quote-unquote realistic rest of the game.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's still – that's – this game, above all, it's got good music. It's got good visuals, but it's got style.
Yeah.
It's original. Yeah. This has never been done before or since. This was the perfect thing that happened in this era. People are like, what can I do? What can I make that no one's seen? This is that game. A beautiful game.
Yeah.
Again, I played this on the CGA, and listen, it's playable. Don't get me wrong.
It's
but I mean,
joy.
The Atari version is beautiful.
Blows it away.
That's part of the appeal. You know, the colors. Like Brent said, that when you go to these rooms, they're like stages, and so they're colored differently. You'll have a light blue or kind of a light green stage. That's fun. Something you can do that's irritating, but I do it all the time, is hop into a stage, then instantly jump straight up and hop back out.
Yeah,
the game's like, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
I do that all the time.
You don't lose a life. It's just like, why'd you do that?
You got to start over, yeah. And it's a pain. I love the premise of it, that you're trying to impress your girl. I like the stage where you go get the girl cat. You know, it's very cute and charming when you get her. All the hearts and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's
the big old lip smack sound.
For
a cat makes no sense.
I just think it's dandy. All the little things they did. I mean, listen, could it have used two or three more mini games? Yeah, but you got to consider when this was made.
Yeah.
You know, and it's still, for given what it does, you've got a lot of gameplay in there. And what this game does that's different from Stooges, for example, is the in-between minigame parts. There's a lot going on just in that scene.
Yeah.
You're jumping around. You're getting the mice. You're trying to avoid the dog. And going up and down those clotheslines can sometimes be a huge hassle because if there's no clothes on them, there's nothing to hang on to.
Yeah, you can't. You just fall.
Yeah. The sound of your cat falling off the clotheslines behind the wall are funny. And then your cat comes out. And let's talk about the cat. Beautifully animated.
Yes.
When he stops running, he'll look at you. He just looks like a little black cat. He reminds me of Icky, my little black cat. Just this sweet little kitty who runs around, always accosted by these dogs, trying to find love in these dark, horrible alleys. I'm a big fan of this one. I've always loved it. And so when you picked it, I was down with the clown on that, Brent. I love that game.
Aaron, while you pull up user reviews, there's something else I want to mention. If you have not, if you are a fan of this game, you've played it before, or if this is the first time you ever heard about it and it sounds kind of interesting to you, I highly recommend finding the manual online for this.
Which I've never read or seen, I will admit that.
It is full of cat puns, right? But we're going to forgive it for that. But it takes itself so seriously that it actually loops back around to absurdity. Relationship between the two cats is on full display, and it's talking about how, you know, it has a section where each cat is giving its feelings, talking to its friends. And of course the alley cat's like, oh, you know, she's too good for me. She'll never want a cat like me. And then she's like, man, you know, he's got that bad boy persona. If he could just show a little initiative, I would fall for him instantly. It's a cheesy good time manual that is worth taking a moment for and looking at.
I've never even looked at the manual.
Yeah.
Oh, we did get a review, the Brent, from Jocko6502, who chimes in. He says, I'm really on the fence with this one.
Ba-dum boom.
Yeah, he always does that. I both enjoyed playing it and wanted to hurl my controller at the TV at the same time.
Yeah.
Many times I jumped through a window only to jump straight back out again when I stupidly tried to jump towards the goal to get the minigame. Many fun minigames that can sometimes be a chore getting to, but all unique and fun in their own way. The goal, of course, is to get the girl. I could make so many jokes with this being a cat game. Yeah. I managed to get the lady cat just once, but just couldn't get the job done other times. So I feel I might just have got lucky. My favorite minigame was the fishbowl, but what kind of nut job keeps electric eels in a fishbowl? Good point. The pokey shines through again and again. It really adds another dimension to this game over the DOS version. The pokey audio makes the game sound like an early arcade game. An irritating game that has a I want to kick this game's butt vibe. So I'll keep playing it. 7 out of 10.
Yeah, and I'll have to say, the game does have a level of difficulty.
Yeah.
That
you get used to it, though.
Yeah, you do. And it's something that if you take a moment to learn the controls, because the controls are really the thing that keeps this from being an easy pick-up-and-play thing. The momentum of your cat jumps can really be confusing.
It's one of those games that where the controls are play a vital part in the game, I think. I mean, yes, they're touchy controls, I'll grant you. But, I mean, if you had perfect controls, I think the game would be a lot easier. So I think that's you have to master those goofy controls.
I agree. Trying to look this up on eBay, and I do
good
not see any listings for it. It was just kind of odd because I always thought this was a popular game.
It came out in 83 on a you know, that's an old game. I've never seen a cartridge. I mean, I've never seen a disc, tape, or anything in the flesh.
So. Yeah, it is tape or disc. Yeah, I'm not seeing anything on eBay, so if you happen to come across this in your day-to-day flea market travels, be sure to grab it.
There you go. A fine choice, the Brent, if I can give you some credit. I hate to do it. That was a real good choice.
You hate to do it, but you do it so often.
Well, I mean, listen, I'll give your game choices credit. I'm giving you no credit. You're an oaf. So when it was my time to choose, I wanted to go in a different direction because, of course, you had the entire Atari 8-bit library at your disposal, should you have went that route. But I didn't want to make this the Atari 8-bit show. It's a PokeChip show. So I thought to myself, I had heard about these cartridges that had PokeChips in the cartridge. In fact, I talked to Boat, old Boat. He goes, listen, he goes, yeah, he goes, the 7800 had a couple cartridges that had a PokeChip in it, which I'd heard that. And he goes, you can play Ball Blazer. I'm like, hell no, I'm not playing that. So I was like, what's the other one? And so the other one's what I chose. And keep in mind, I've never played this before. So I ended up choosing, believe it or not, Commando. Yeah. Where I went Commando, if you will.
You absolutely did.
So let me explain the situation here. The Atari 7800 is an unusual system. All right? Atari put this thing together years and years before they actually released it. And what they did was they made a system that had superior graphics and a two-button joystick. But one thing they didn't do was they wanted it to be backwards compatible with the Atari VCS, the 2600, which it is. And it runs, I think, 99% of the games on the Atari 2600 will run on the Atari 7800, which is great. I've got one. I modded it composite out. So that way you double up. You get all your Atari 2600 games and the 7800 games. So, but the problem is, Atari, in their infinite cheapness, decided to not put another sound chip in it, despite the fact, by the way, that they had Pokey sitting around. Yeah. All right? They're like, nah, we're not going to do it. And so, but they had a plan. The sound on board in the Atari 7800 is the Atari 2600 sound.
Yeah.
So that's a bad plan.
Yeah.
But the plan was, what we'll do is we'll just put sound chips into the carts. We'll allow this to happen. And that way they can, if they want to have enhanced sound, they'll be good to go. All right, with a little expense.
But the problem with this plan is the 2600 is not like a good bass sound to go from.
Well,
at the time the 7800 was coming out,
it was making because they released this thing. It's sort of like a direct competitor to the NES.
Yeah,
which was a
that didn't work.
And so here's the funny thing about this. Again, keep in mind I've never played this game. So think of the plan. We'll put Pokey chips into the carts. It's a lot like the same thing that Super Nintendo did with the Super FX chip or whatnot.
Yeah.
And even Sega did it with a couple of games on the Genesis / Mega Drive. So the problem is, of course, you add the expense of putting in a chip. But also, you've got to have developers that give a crap about doing that, okay? And it turns out there were two that they gave a crap and decided to put the expense in. I thought there were more than two, but as far as everything I read, there were two. They're Ball Blazer and Commando who put a Poke chip. Now, as you can imagine, in the old days, Poke chips, they were falling out of the trees, brother. You could be poking everywhere. Now they're not. They're super rare. And so what's happened is it's made these cartridges a lot more expensive and a lot more rare because what people do are yank the Poke chip out of these, desolder them from the cartridge and put them in their C64 or put them in their Atari. I almost made the same mistake you did. So they can take these pokies out and stick them in the machine. We'll get to the price, but it goes up.
Yes.
It works.
I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't work, but.
So, with all that said, Commando. Now, I learned a lot in this episode. I'll be honest with you, Brent, because Commando's not a game that I really played all that much.
Oh, really?
No,
oh,
God, I didn't play it at all.
I played the heck out of it in the arcade.
I want to talk about the arcade version before we get into the home version. So, Commando was developed in the arcades by Capcom, or developed in the arcades by Capcom, and then they also had publishers all over the place, including Data East was one of them. So, get this, Britt, this blew my mind. I was looking to see who worked on this, okay? So, you had a couple big players work on this game. Now, let me beam down here. You've got, of course, this came out of Japan, as you can imagine. And the designer of this was a guy named Takuro Fujiwara, okay? This guy was the King Dong of games, all right? I'm not going to go through his ludicrous list of games, but he was the director and producer of some of the biggest arcade games you ever saw. Let's say Puyan, Ghosts and Goblins, Bionic Commando, some of the Mega Man games, Strider. All right, have you ever heard of these? He produced DuckTales and Willow on the NES, Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers. You know, I mean, this guy produced tons of Mega Mans, tons of NES games, tons and tons of stuff. Okay?
Right. Yeah.
He's a stud, all right? The composer on this is a lady named Tameo Kawamoto. She was one of the first musicians hired at Capcom. And she did some pretty solid stuff, too, including Black Tiger, Ghouls and Ghosts. And she composed the music for X to X's. Remember that game?
Nope.
Yeah, well, I've heard of it, thanks to...
The music for Ghouls and Ghosts was incredible. Yeah.
So. She also composed the soundtracks for Rayforce, Raystorm, Buster Bros, Ghouls and Ghosts, like I said. So these are a couple super studs of gaming. Now, here's the part that I didn't understand. So, this came out in the arcade in North America in 85. Okay, pretty much everywhere in 85. I did not realize the kind of jack that this thing brought to the table. By the way, I should mention, what is this game? You play as a commando named Super Joe. All right? I love that.
Well, so yeah, and Super Joe does show up in other games. Yeah.
He's dropped off in the jungle by a helicopter, and he's got to fight his way through the enemy to rescue POWs and blow up everything he sees, basically. It's a pretty easy game to understand. Super Joe has a gun and has grenades. Now, when he moves around, he can shoot the gun in any direction. Grenades always go straight up and down. That takes some getting used to, by the way.
Yeah.
and we'll get into the differences with the Atari game, but that's pretty much the long and short of it. You're going through and blowing up bunkers, blowing up stuff like that. And you play it until you end the game or you die. So this is the part I didn't understand. I couldn't believe this. The reception of this game. Now listen to this. In Japan, in June 85, their Game Machine magazine said this was the most popular arcade game for the previous 2 weeks. Then, just for fun, it became the highest grossing arcade game of 1984 in the UK. It was the highest grossing in the United States. It was one of the top three highest grossing arcade video games of 85. And the other two games in the list, also done by Data East, published A Karate Champ, A Kung Fu Master. Mm. So it turns out, looking through this, not to go into it too deep, this was one, at the time it was released, this is one of the most popular arcade games ever released.
Yeah.
In a time where every arcade game was double awesome.
Yep.
This is another one. Right? I never had no idea. And I will say, when Arcade Time came around, I did see this in a lot of places, but I didn't play it. So then the home ports, it was one of the best-selling home port games of the era too. Mm. It topped the charts in the UK in December of 85. It topped the charts in 86 in America. It received 2 gold awards for selling more than 200,000 units in a region. It sold 1.14 million copies on the NES.
Woo.
Okay, this game was a monster game. Okay, it's also in the top 100 games of all time in a ton of lists. Okay, so this is the arcade version. So let's talk about what Atari ended up doing. Now, if you're an Atari 7800 aficionado, which I would count myself as one, I've had one for a while, I've played a lot of Atari games, and what I would consider Atari games on the 7800 maybe 2 steps up from the 2600, you know, and depending on the quality of them, some of them were straight up garbage. And in some of them, people tried harder and they were fun. But they weren't what I would call on the same level for the most part as the NES.
Oh, yes.
Okay? We could both
Absolutely.
Agree on that. Again, this was developed, this was released in 89. I should mention, this came out on everything. The Amiga, the CPC, Apple II, anything you could think of. BBC Micro got it. The Doja. We got to put that on the list. That's twice we came up with that one. The Intellivision. Did you know this was an Intellivision port of this?
Well, I mean, if the games that was that popular in arcades, I'm not
PC
surprised.
PC Booter, the Spectrum, everything. The guy that programmed this is named, I looked to try to find stuff with this guy. I couldn't find Jack. His name was Dwayne Skinner, and he spells Dwayne D-W-A-I-N, which is unusual. So it's not like this guy didn't do anything. Listen to this. He did Slam Dunk on the C64. He did a bunch of games. He did Roger Clemens MVP Baseball, Techno Super Baseball. He did a ton of the Techno games, Techno NBA Basketball. He did Techno Super NBA Basketball, Techno Super Baseball. You've probably played some of these, Brent. You're a big Techno guy. He did a lot of sports games from back in the day. So how does this thing fare? Well, I'll tell you straight up, having not ever played Commando for the 7800, this is easily one of the best 7800 games I've ever played. Maybe, in some ways, it's the best. And why do I say that? This game is an excellent port of the arcade game. And when I say that, and that's with limitations, but I'm saying, what does it have that the arcade has? Well, what it has is, it's got the same setup. The levels are basically the same, and the controls and everything that pretty much the same. You've got 2 button controls, one for the gun and one for the grenade. It has all the cutscenes. You know, I mean, again, this seems trivial now, but
oh no, I agree.
Cutscenes on the 7800 were not something you saw a whole lot of. It had the intro scene with the helicopter dropping your golf in the jungle. It had bonus stuff. There were a few home releases that had stuff the arcade didn't have. This is one of them, and the NES was too. This has secret areas. I don't just mean like a little area. I mean like a full-on area where you go into rescue POWs. Did you know about that?
No. Mm-mm.
There are areas in the game where you can blow out sections of the wall, and when you do that, you go underground and rescue POWs that are tied to these walls and these caves and these like underground prisons, right? I think there are 6 different areas in the game you can do this. You have to blow a hole in a wall in a certain area. All right, so there's hidden stuff in here. On top of that, the game it goes on for like, it's got the levels. You go through twice, and the levels change. It's got an ending. It's got all the stuff you would expect to have in the game. Plus, this thing has one thing over pretty much every Atari game on the 7800. It's got arcade, I would call it arcade quality sound. And for the obvious reasons that the Pokechip was in the arcade. If you listen to or play Commando for the arcade, in the arcade, it's got a good little tune. It's got like a soldiery sort of a drum beat, like a march beat.
Yeah.
This has, I looked at several versions of this. I think this is as close as they came getting the sound right. I thought the sound was really good in this. And when you compare this to all the other ports and the arcade, like, this is probably the best home port. There are some people that don't like any of the home ports of this, and there are reasons not to like this one, which I'll get into. But, I mean, I'm grading this thing on what I call the 7800 curve. And this, like, playing the 7800, like, this right here was a revelation. I couldn't believe I hadn't played it before because it blew me away with how much like the arcade it was and how it looked. This looks, for a system that was supposed to compete with the 7800 or with the NES, okay, this is one of the rare games that you could put side by side with the NES and not feel like an idiot.
Yeah.
I mean, this one's on par.
Yeah, if you didn't know and showed someone this game, they'd be like, "Oh yeah, that's a NES game."
Right. And what does this tell us? Okay? Cuz the thing is the 7800 has enhanced graphics.
Yeah.
Okay? But the sound was always lagging. Plus there's just sort of this There's a thing that a lot of these games where they just didn't put a full effort in.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And we're going to give Capcom, Atari, these guys, I'm going to give them their due. It's funny because it's Commando, but I guess this was a big deal. Although if you think about it, this came out it's 89. They sat down and I got to give Dwayne Skinner credit. He sat down and put together a top shelf game.
Yeah.
Now, is it perfect? And we're I'll talk about what I don't like about it because it does have many flaws, some of which are present in the arcade. Your guy moseys around this is an unusual game because the bullets in it are slow, and your guy moseys along, and so do the bad guys. It's more when you get killed, it's usually because you're overran as much as anything else. So somebody just there's so many bullets, even if it's slowly floating around, you know, they still can get you. And so when you move like that, and the arcade game is very similar, when you get hung up on stuff or whatever, that's a hassle. And you do get hung up on stuff in this game, going around corners, going around buildings and whatnot. You get hung up on stuff, and it slows you down. Another problem you'll get in this game is, like, you cannot be on the left or right edge of the screen.
Yeah.
Because guys will just, without you knowing it, will just wander in.
Yeah.
I guess it's realistic, but they do.
No, that's not realistic.
What do you mean? Guys could wander in. I mean,
see them coming.
In real life, maybe you're like a horse with blinders on. But they'll wander in and get you. So you can't, you've got to stay away from the sides of the screen. Something else that will bother you is, again, the grenades only shoot straight up. This is exactly like the arcade. So this is an unnatural game element to me because it seems like you should be able to throw the grenades in the direction you're facing.
Yeah.
Now, this is part of the game, so they couldn't change it. You had to go. I'm not going to blame the 7800 for this, but this is I never liked this in the arcade. It's a weird element. And so the good thing about it is you can be running left and right and still throw a grenade straight, but it rarely does that help you. The grenades aren't as useful as they should be, in my opinion. So there's a problem. Now, this game also includes a couple power-ups. You can get a knife, and you can get a machine gun.
What does the knife do?
I don't know.
Okay.
I thought, does it give you an extra touch? It doesn't. I couldn't tell what it did.
I even looked in the instruction booklet. No mention of it.
Yeah. But it's there. And it shows up at the top of the screen in your equipment. I do like the fact that if you've got a machine gun, you still got unlimited ammo. And it carries, if you don't die, it carries through to the next level, which is nice. I like the fact that you'll go around picking up like things or grenades that will help. I looked at this very closely with the arcade and with the NES version, which I think is the most comparable version. The NES version and this version, are neither one of them are perfect. If you could combine them, you'd have a real good game. There are elements in the NES version that you don't that are in the arcade you don't see in this version at all, like stacks of barrels, for example. The bridges look a little bit different. They probably look a little bit better in the on the NES. But there's, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I like better on the 7800. So it's literally, it's a mixed bag. And I certainly like the music better on the 7800. But with all that said, as a game on the Atari 7800, I was blown away. I mean, really, couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
This is finally something you can hold up and say, hey,
check
this,
this
is
out.
Not bad. What did you think about it? Had you played this before on the 7800?
First of all, no, I had not played this on the 7800 before this show. However, I did play this in the arcade a lot.
Yeah, I do recall you playing a lot. Yeah.
So I was very familiar with what I was getting into.
Yeah.
The arcade version is insanely more difficult.
Yes. Oh God.
Insanely more difficult. And that's something I ran through this entire game. My first credit. And the only time I died was when I thought I could walk through water, because I'm pretty sure you can walk through the water in the arcade version. And I just fell in and sunk like a stone. I was like,
If you play this on the lowest level, which is that's the default, I believe.
Yeah.
You could literally run through most levels without doing anything.
Yeah.
If you up the levels, it does exponentially make it more difficult. I will say that.
Right.
So it should be easy on novice.
But I was impressed. I was really impressed at the visuals. I was impressed with the sound for the most part. I do think that the some of the sound effects didn't have the same oomph that I would expect them to have. Not saying the sound is bad. I'm not saying that. It's just when you have sound quality... For most of the things, I feel like a couple of the things that they just didn't push. The explosions being the biggest one for me.
Yeah, and also I noticed that there's not as heavy laid on the drums as there's in the arcade.
Oh, well, yeah.
But they're still there, but just you don't hear them all that often. Yes, the arcade you hear them a lot more. But it's not a bad. Listen, like I said, I thought the sound wise, I mean, the music was really good.
This is an iconic tune from the arcades.
Great game. Great song.
It was something that you would hear and know that they had Commando because it was just so catchy. I was incredibly impressed with the controls in this game.
Yeah.
I felt they were super tight. I agree. I wish you could hit both buttons and throw a grenade the direction you were facing.
Yeah.
That would be a change I would make. If I was designing the game,
you're violating the spirit of the game. Well, it really does. That would change the entirety of the game.
I would change that on all platforms. Yeah. Because not being able to throw a grenade left or right doesn't make any sense. I guess they're trying to prevent you from throwing it off the screen, would be my guess.
Yeah.
Whatever. But I really enjoyed this. And I think that the putting the Poke Chip in the cart for this game was the right decision.
Oh, God.
Because the sound on this is well above what the 7800 could do for itself.
Oh, yeah, not just that. It's just that this is one of those things where I think sometimes people forget how important sound is in a game.
Yeah.
This would not be as good a game without the sound.
Agreed.
I mean, the chip, it was, and that there's a plenty of games on the 7800 that could have benefited from, and pretty much all of them. But they... This you're right. This song is so popular and it gets in your mind that can you imagine playing this without it stop. Playing this without the music, you know. And by the way, sound and special effects in here too. It's not like they just had one. You know, they made the right call.
Now I will say this does not sound like a Poke Chip game to me. I think it sounds good, but it doesn't have that Atari feel.
They didn't do any. There's not any special flair.
Correct.
It's still very good.
Well, because that's the source material didn't have
like
that.
Alley Cat from the special effects standpoint. It's a far superior game in terms of its sound effects. But this one, they nailed the music.
They tried to make it like the source material, which it makes it not sound like a Poke Chip game. But they used the power of the Poke Chip to get to where they got.
How surprised were you when you were playing this and all of a sudden you're getting cutscenes? And you're, I mean, that sounds so trivial, but I mean, it's just something you did not see that much.
Yeah.
And it's important to the feel of the game.
Yes, I agree. The other thing that I liked is they still had the generals that you could kill and get the extra points. And they did have some POWs, but not nearly as much as the arcade had.
Actually, it's got tons more if you go into the hidden areas.
Yeah. Right.
So that's part of it.
So, yeah, overall, would I say this is the best 7800 game? I mean, it's really darn close.
Yeah, and it's. I mean, is it my favorite 7800 game? No, but is it as far as arcade port
showpiece?
Goes,
it's a showpiece.
It's a showpiece. Plus, I mean, I had a lot of fun playing it. I mean, it's a good game.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, I played all the way through it, so I had to have some fun.
It's
right?
It's a real good game. I looked up some reviews on this. There were some, believe it or not. The Video Game Critic gave this an 83. The All Games Guide gives it a 70. LaGeek gives it a 60.
That's too
Digital
low.
Press. These are all modern reviews.
Yeah,
right?
That's too low.
Digital Press gave it a 60. I agree with those. They're too low. We did get a review.
I feel this is a solid. This is a solid 75.
This is a on the 7800. This is a solid 100%.
Well, you can't do that.
On Pajaco had a look at this. He said Commando is a great example of why the 7800 is an awesome console. The game is not arcade perfect, but what you get is something that retains all the fun and playability of the arcade. The action slows down a little when there are a lot of baddies on the screen, and the long
a little bit.
And the long sprite bullets travel sideways, but at least you can see them. It was easy to get stuck on the scenery, correct, which was grating, but the arcade does that too, correct as well. So move along, nothing to see here. As this is a Poke episode, let's talk about the sound. In a word, awesome. Again, not arcade perfect, but you have a good rendition of the music and sound effects, unlike some others that I can mention, Cough C64. I did a whistle stop tour of the 8-bit ports. I can honestly say the Atari 7800 version is right up there with probably the top three for me. Novice mode will give you a run for your money initially, but you can cheese it in some places, so you'll be playing like an expert in no time. A great home port with great sound, 9 out of 10. Excellent. Yeah. I did look this up on the eBay, Brent, and get your checkbook out, brother, because this thing ain't cheap. I found sealed copies going for 100. Now, you got to be careful before we get into this. When you see this, there are two versions of Commando.
Yes.
And they were very clever, Atari. By clever, I mean dirty. On one version, it says 2600 and plays on 7800 in 2600 mode. What that means is this is the 2600
version.
Yeah,
you don't want that one.
All right? The one you want is in a silver box. It's exclusive for the 7800 version. Do not accept the other one. You will be severely disappointed.
Yeah, not the same game.
All right?
Not the game we reviewed here today.
Yeah, so anyway, if you want a sealed copy of the 7800 version of this, you're going to be in for around $165.
Ooh.
Okay?
That's a little much.
If you want a complete in-box version that's not sealed, you're still talking around the $100 mark. Now, of course, there are aberrations. You know what I mean? And then if you just want the cart, just the cart by itself is $70.
Woo!
So this ain't cheap, bro. Well, I mean, again, because people are harvesting the chip out of this thing. Now, this is the biggest tragedy of all of this is these games are probably few and far between now because of the people pulling out the Poke chip.
Well,
those Poke chips are in demand.
I get that, but they probably made a bajillion of these.
No, they did not. I know. Look at the prices. $70 for a loose 7800 card? You can get these things. They're giving them away. You know, so, yeah, it's a big deal to pay that much. But, I mean, overall, I got to say, I was really surprised at how much I enjoyed this. Again, a game that I normally would not play. And I think we can both agree, Brent, that the Poke chip is the star of the show. Great job. But, I mean, great all around on this one. But both games had outstanding sound. I think the Poke chip is underrated. So get out there, get some of your Atari 8-bit on, a few arcade games, or these two select... Well, actually, don't play Ball Blazer. It's not a good enough sound to make that game fun. But certainly, try Commando. Give it a shot. Listen to the music. Turn it up, sucker.
Now, Aaron, I have to wonder, if I was having trouble with some of my chips in my system, maybe the cat got in there and it flung it off the counter.
In your case, that would almost certainly happen. And it did happen to me with an Amiga, so it could actually happen.
Do you know anyone that can help me with that?
I know a certain commando that lives just off an alley up in Canada, the mean streets of Canada. And you know who he is. I'm talking about our good buddy Frank at RetroRewind.com.
Yes.
Listen, is your computer a little down the dumps? It's lonely. It's sad, right? Don't be mad. You package that sucker up and ship it up to Canada to our good buddy Frank. Frank does service on Commodore machines. He'll take care of your TRS-80 color computer. He may do service on some other consoles if you ask him, because I know he's done my Vectrex.
That's
Frank
true.
Is a full-service technical wizard. He takes care of your business. He will sell you replacement parts for your C64, for your C128, for all your Amigas, for your CDTV, real obscure crap, Brent. He'll take care of you. Do you need diagnostic tools to try to figure this stuff out on your own? Hey, Frank will take care of you. He's got diagnostic cartridges for Commodore, for Amiga, and for the TRS-80 color computer. Do you need an SD solution to take care of your business? Make it easier for you. Hey, I got a couple of these things. You got to have them. No one wants to load this crap off tape. What are we doing? That's where Frank comes in. He'll sell you a Kung Fu Flash. He'll sell you an SDC for your TRS-80 color computer. Frank has it all. Please, please, I beseech you, go to RetroRewind.ca and check out the various services and wares that Frank has on offer. It's all solid gold money, Brent.
Absolutely. Frank's a good guy.
What do we got this week?
And,
wheel boy. Here we go.
Oh, boy.
Brent's very excited about this guy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, here we go.
And now, you know, for the last month,
I've
been a little under the weather. So the wheel has not been tended to as it should.
Yeah, you've been shirking your duties on the wheel.
Well, let me tell you something. That all changes today.
It does?
All of that fan participation crap, gone.
Yeah. Oh, you booted
gone.
The fans?
Gone.
Why do you hate the fans?
In its place, we have Microvision. We have D-Makes. We have games from TV before 2000. And we have VTech CreativeVision.
Oh, man.
Aaron, these are all suggested from people within the community and one from yourself, of course. And for our Retro Rewind, we have the Odyssey, too.
There's some actual new systems there, too. I'm very excited.
Let me tell you something. This wheel is nothing but pain.
Can you show the fans
pain.
What you've done?
I couldn't help,
it's
man.
It's not pain. It's good stuff on there. What are you talking about?
Yeah, because I really want to go and play the ZeniMax, the Daewoo CPC.
Man, that sounds good to me. Daewoo's never let me down. Didn't you have a car from them?
I did.
How'd it do?
Well.
Did it let you down?
I don't have it now.
Oh, man.
Oh, Lord.
What do we got here?
Oh, my. We have, suggested by Petzl, games from TV shows before the year 2000.
Okay,
games from TV shows before the year 2000.
Do you want to, so this is an open category, any computer or video game or anything we want to do?
Any system, as long as it is the game for a television show that was made before the year 2000.
Time for another round of Minder. I already played that.
I was thinking, oh, crap, here comes MASH again.
Listen, I like Minder. It's a good show. Listen, there's so many that we could do. So that I may go back and find, what's the oldest show that had a game? I'm going to go back and look and see if I can find it. It might be kind of fun to do. Hey, listen, thank you, everyone, for sending in your ideas. And trust me, if we didn't get your idea this time, we're adding it in. We've got tons of more ideas. Yeah, Brent, I asked if you're going to play Dallas Quest again.
I can always play some more Dallas Quest, baby.
You know, we're getting long in the tooth here in January, Brent, and we're so close to our upcoming fun event. It's BAM. It's Amiga-thon, Brent.
Yes.
February 18th. It's so close. It's less than a month away.
It is pretty close, yeah.
And what is that Amiga-thon, you may ask? Well, if you'll
allow, I wouldn't ask. I know what it is.
If you'll allow me to elaborate.
Oh, you're doing a lead-in.
It's where myself, the Brent, and our good buddy, John, Boat of Car Schaller, we all converge on the sacred retro basement of Boat for 12 hours of hot, incredibly hot Amiga action, nonstop action. Now you think to yourself, what a deal. It gets better. Because what are we doing? We're raising money for the Children's Miracle Network of Hospitals. These guys take care of the little kids. They pick up the bill when these kids are in trouble.
Yes.
And that's what we're here for. Over the years, thanks to all our fine listeners and supporters and watchers, we've raised like well over 10,000 buckaroos for the kids. And we're back at it again. Now, you can go right now to amigathon.com, I believe. Check that address. Make sure I didn't lie about that.
It is, yes.
And you can actually, you can throw in some cash right now. Our good buddy Frank of Richard Rewind, we just put over in the previous segment, he's matching bids up to $500. So if we get $500, he's going to toss in another $500. That's right away. There's no reason to wait till the date. You can give your bids now. And on the show, we'll put you over as a winner, a lover of life.
Yeah, this is what you do, right? You get in those donations now.
Yeah.
Then you just set back on the day.
Yeah.
You're like, you know what?
Kick a few back.
I've done my part. Now I'm just going to watch these idiots make fools of themselves.
Yeah, and fools we will make because that's what we get into. So please, we would love it if you join us February 18th. I believe we're kicking it off at 8 a.m., if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, I don't like that.
And we'll be going, well, you never get there on time, so don't worry. We'll go 12 big hours. And then we might hand it off to somebody like the T-Speaker Regulars or something. We'll get into it. Let them keep the ball rolling. Should be a lot of fun. We always have a good time every year for Amigathon 2023. Brent?
Yes.
Do you have any parting thoughts as we take this one to the house?
You know, looping back on the pokey chip for the second time,
yeah,
I kind of thought, man, we screwed up.
No, you screwed up.
But we didn't screw up. Yeah. Because this was a completely different experience than the first time we did it.
Yeah, and so, I loved it. Good one.
If you want to check out some extra history, you can always go back and watch the previous Pokey Chip show.
Do you remember what number that one is?
No. Oh, and, you know, that's more of an overview of the chip, but we played all arcade games on that, so it's a completely different everything.
I agree. All right. With all that said, we're going to take it to the house, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back same time, same place next week. For games based on TV shows before the year 2000. Until then, adios. I mean, adios. That means goodbye.
Thanks for joining us today. We really hope you enjoyed the show. A special thank you to Death and Styles for our vector style graphics and Barkbit for our amazing music. Would you like to help keep ARG spinning? You can do so at patreon.com/ARGpresents. Just like these fine folks. Dryerlet 17, Laurent Garut, Templar Mar, Z9K9, Jerry Dennington, John Dykeman, Retroalgae, Air Shack, Texas Foosballer, Sundown, O'Raw, Super Tech Boy, David Terrence, Mr. B, Roushey, Graham, W. Vetke,
Chris Munch,
Dave Velociraptor, Bernhardt Lucas, Steve Rathmussen, Anthony Jarvis, Bitter Blitter, Jocko 6502, Kevin Bean, Andy Jones, Andy Craig, Rob Black O'Hara, Jason Warnes, Mitsuyama, Chris Foles, Frodo Adele, The Slow,
Richard Smith,
Morris, Terry Howard, Olaf Hope, and Rolo. They all have access to our Discord channel, their name called out in the credits, and visualize in the ending scene. Have an idea for a wheel piece? You can send it to us at argpresents@mail.com.